Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Welcome back, friends and coworkers, to episode number 170 of the Coworkers Podcast. It is a beautiful, sunny day here in Spain, and I have two friends and coworkers with me today that I'm really thankful to get to share with our listeners, Seth and Denise. Welcome, Seth and Denise.
Thank you. It's good to see you and hear you and have a chat with you today.
It is. Jesse's traveling, so I'm feeling a bit more chatty than normal, okay, because I've been in the house by myself all day today, so I'm extra glad to have someone to talk to. We served together some years back in South Asia, and I know both just are so thankful for the time God gave us there, and you have served our coworkers for many years in member care, helping us on the field, people like me who need lots of help, to be able to serve in a more healthy way and stay on the field longer. So super thankful for how you care for our people. Tell our listeners a bit more about yourselves.
So yeah, we had a call to go a long time ago, and in a variety of ways, God directed our paths. And along the way, we found that there was something that existed, this care team, these people whose main ministry was to care for the other workers. And that resonated with us at a deep level. And so we spent several years in the U.S. getting our degrees and preparing to go. And then for the last almost 15 years, we've been in this particular role, and we love it. It's taken us some wildly crazy and wonderful, hard, awesome places, literally in the world, but also with people. And it's been our privilege to see and be with people in some of their most vulnerable and difficult days. And it's just been a great honor for us. And because we've spent so much time just studying and focusing on how to care for people well and to be fully present with people, I mean, we feel like God's really given us some insight along the way that's been helpful. Most of the time, it's because we've been in the deep end with someone and God's just kind of shown up and given us some clarity. And also spent a lot of time just focused on studying how to help people. Thanks for the opportunity to get to share today on some of these things that we do all the time. That people don't often think about how frequently these things come up.
That's the grace of God on display very clearly. 15 years of serving people and helping people in their hardest times. I can only imagine all that you've walked through and all that God's taught you and how He's strengthened you along the way. Today, we're going to kind of give our listeners an emotional health tune-up through this episode. But before we do, I have a quick warm-up for you guys. It's a speed round of three quick questions to get you warmed up. Okay. What is one food that you're enjoying right now? Because I know you're recently back in the States for your stateside.
Salmon. So Denise has a great recipe for salmon.
That's what I had for lunch. I love salmon. Really,
she seasons it just right, puts it over some quinoa, a little broccoli or something, and
that's really good. Healthy.
Yes. I actually was thinking along the same lines. We're having some neighbors over for dinner tonight, and we're going to do make your own quinoa bowl. Being here in the States for a bit, I have access to more ingredients. Mm. So fun things like edamame and roasted sweet potatoes.
I love all those things. And if Jesse were here, he'd be making fun of us so hard right now.
Okay, well, let's be honest. That Costco hot dog still hits. So
I had a birthday party for my 14-year-old, and we had Costco hot dogs. So you're not the only one who likes them.
No. Just saying, it's not all healthy.
Yes, we try.
We do.
Okay. Number two, what are you reading in the Word?
Yes, I'm in Galatians. And so struck yet again with Paul's commendations to the church and also the vulnerability, that just the ways that he was engaging different people in different aspects of their walk in different health and unhealthy ways of being together as church. That's just always helpful.
We had several weeks of travel over the summer, and I decided to start going through the Psalms and just read a psalm each day and meditate on that. I enjoyed it so much that I've kept that going since into the fall. And so I'm just each morning have my tea that is a carryover from South Asia. Always start my day with hot tea and time in the Word. And so just meditating and marinating in the Psalms has been so rich.
That's awesome. Okay, last one. What is one way that you are relaxing or recreating that's helping strengthen your own emotional health?
So many things. We are in a particular neighborhood in Orlando that is so rich and so unique in that neighbors actually want to interact with each other. And it's kind of like a throwback the 80s. And so last night we had, it was National Night Out in the U.S. And so there was a
crime prevention.
Yes, neighborhood watch. And so we had that last night and lots of neighbors came out and we got to meet new people. So I'm just enjoying having meaningful conversations in English.
Additional space to just read and would listen. I don't read as much as I listen. And then do things with my hands. And so you can't tell in this room, but there's a project. We're mid-project in this room. And so I have some stuff to do after, which is for me just really relaxing, helpful, challenging in a different way. Because I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not listening to anybody. I'm just trying to figure out how to make this wood fit where it's supposed to go and make it look good.
And you have that amazing satisfaction when you're done.
Yes. Or, well, that'll work. Maybe not fully satisfied, but yeah, I didn't pay for that. So that's good.
Well, we are talking about emotional health or holistic health today. And it does seem to be a consistent struggle around the world. John 10:10 says, "The thief came to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life abundant, life to the full." I'm doing a Bible study that a few days ago, I read this definition of the abundant life as the experience of God's love, forgiveness, and power in the midst of life's problems. Why do so many of us lack joy or lack this experience of God's love and power on a daily basis?
Galatians 5 talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. And that's not easy, like to keep in step. Sometimes when we're on walks, we have a similar gait. And so we end up walking together. It makes it easier to hold hands, which is nice. But when we get off, then like holding hands is now this awkward, like it just feels a little weird. And so I think the rhythms of life overseas, the different cultures that are outside of that aren't easily synced with our home culture, those things kind of keep us off kilter almost all the time. We came back at one point in time and we were sitting with a counselor trying to get our heads right and process what had happened over the last several years. And Denise made a comment about feeling so much more like yourself. Do you remember this?
Yes, I was struggling over, especially when we lived in South Asia, life was just so much harder. And I had a hard time figuring out and just leveling off emotionally, I think. And when we came back, I was just able to take those deep exhales. And we were in marriage counseling, actually, and I just mentioned that I felt so much more like myself, who I knew myself to be in the U.S. And I thought that meant there was something wrong with me because just because of the dynamics. And he pointed out that it makes sense that I feel more like myself in my home culture. And so I think that we don't necessarily realize how much our stress increases when we're living in another culture. Our usual support systems decrease. So if your stress is increased and your support systems are decreased, that leaves a bigger gap of vulnerability. And all sorts of things can fit into that gap. Uncertainty, comparison, questions, doubt. And I think that steals our joy. It steals our ability to think rightly about our place and our role. And it's every time I read the epistles, I'm struck by how many times Paul says, and other authors, let me remind you of X, Y, Z. And so that tells me that it's okay that we need to be reminded of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, how to walk in step with the Spirit.
The responsibilities that we have when we're sent out by different mission organizations, they're expecting a lot from us. So it's not like you're going to go and, hey, we need you to pastor this small community of people. It's like 75 or 100 people, and we really want you to go deep in this, you know, community. That's not usually what we're sent out to do. When we step into a mission with God, when we're looking at the 1.2 billion people that live in India, or the hundreds of thousands of people that live in a particular city, or often where many of us live are millions. It's millions of people that become our people group, like the people that we're supposed to go and invest and give our lives for. That's a huge weight to carry around. And I don't know that we always steward that weight very well. We tend to take on a lot of responsibility for ourselves. And yet there's so many hours in the day. The number of opportunities we have to miscue, to misread, and to misunderstand our role, God's role, in the midst of what he's about, leaves us pretty vulnerable and can cause us not to have the kind of joy. Add into that the uncertainty. You mentioned the word uncertainty, and I love that because normally we have a really clear job description and like responsibilities each day, and we go home at 6 p.m. after 8 or 10 hours in the day. And living on mission, especially one that's unclear, like, hey, go see these 14 million people come to Christ, there's a lot of potential guilt that I'm not doing enough, and uncertainty as to whether or not the things I'm doing are actually effective. It's, I think, we do not practice enough grace given to ourselves and don't often acknowledge our own limitations. And when we move beyond and consistently try and act beyond or serve beyond our limitations, then we just get wrung out, and that just zaps our joy. So those are a couple of thoughts on that.
I can say a big amen to all of those from personal experience and from current experience, just being in the middle of transition. You're right, Denise. I'm in the middle of a lot of cultural changes. However, I would like to be awesome at everything immediately. And I don't want to have to give grace to myself. I have unrealistic desires and expectations. And the burden for the lost and our own needs to feel successful at our job, those things can become so heavy that we can't even celebrate good things because we're so aware of, oh, but there's so much more to do. There's so many more people to reach that we can just take the joy out of everything. So that's something that I've been observing in myself and asking God to help me with. Today, I was sweeping before this interview and just praying and thinking. And I thought, I wonder if Christians should be more joyful than the average person, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit and we've been saved. We truly have joy that does not depend on circumstances. But at the same time, we're so aware of lostness in the world that that is a factor. So I agree with everything you said.
We have the opportunity to join God and this complicated, awesome, lifelong engagement and working out his good pleasure in our lives. Some of us have a tendency to be much more like Mary or much more like Martha, but sitting at the feet of Jesus, as good as it is, how do you report that really well back to the people that are supporting you? So there is this increased pressure, I think, that's just part of what it looks like to do the kind of roles that we do.
The beginning of that verse about Jesus giving us abundant life reminds us that the thief is trying to steal, yes, kill, and destroy us constantly. And I've also been aware of that just in these last few months, those accusatory voices. And before we went on the mission field, people told us those issues you had in the States that were kind of small, when you get to the field, whoa, they're going to be blown up and become bigger. And I feel like that might be true when you're in transition also. Maybe because of the extra stress, that things that you felt like you were doing better at, this is just me again, it's like, oh man, that's like coming back up. All this getting my worth from what I accomplish or feeling like I have to do all these things. The enemy is also a big piece of the picture. But praise the Lord that he uses all of those to help us depend on him more and to continue growing, right?
Yeah. I do want to make mention, speak to something that you just said about things coming back up. I think that we can get very discouraged when that happens, because we tend to think of our life and our spiritual growth as linear, that, okay, God's teaching us patience. Okay, I'm doing good through whatever situation I've learned it. Okay, now God is teaching me faithfulness. And so we're moving through thinking that it's linear, that we start and finish one characteristic and then God moves us on to the next. So then when something comes back up that either we felt like we dealt with very healthily in the U.S. before our time overseas or any number of things, and then it resurfaces, we can get thrown off and be blindsided in a sense, and then get pretty discouraged that I thought I was farther along than this. Why am I going back to having to learn whatever it is? And I like to reframe that for people a lot of times when we're working with them, that just because it's coming back up doesn't mean that you didn't do a good job the last time. You may very well have handled it excellently, whether it was going to counseling, whether it was spending extra time in the Word, focusing on this and prayer and spiritual disciplines. Let's take, finding your success and your worth in your tasks. So if that comes back up again, I feel like it's a reflection of the principle that we are the sum of all of our experiences. And so what we are bringing to our present circumstances may just mean that we need a tune-up. Like you're saying, we need to again surrender whatever it is to the Father and be okay with it and be okay with where we are and not so much frustrated that we're having to relearn it in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much a relearn, it's an add-on to your current experience. And just remember that our spiritual growth is not linear as much as we would like it to be. It's much more cyclical and messy.
Thank you. That was for me today, real time. And it's because we don't want to need a savior over and over and over again, right? We just want to feel like we're doing better. Thanks for that, Denise. So do you guys have some suggestions for rhythms, habits that we could have in place to facilitate greater emotional health? Especially with your 15 years of experience working with missionaries, What would you say? Like, man, if missionaries would just do these basic things, then that would really prevent a lot of the anxiety or depression or discouragement that could come.
Yeah. Stop comparing would be a big one. It's just way too easy to look around and to see, even on this chat, our kid just got a new car, and it would be very easy for me to be jealous, even of the success of my own kid, and compare the things that God has entrusted to me and the things that he's allowed for me versus what he's giving to like someone in my own family, which I mean, I want to be happy for them. I am very happy for them. I'm also like, oh, I could, that would be fun for me too. So how do we not do that? And then you get around someone who's like awesome at language learning and it seems to come so easy. And all of a sudden I just feel all the more less than, all the more less than. I feel all the less than, I felt much less than I was. and so the comparing thing, it's an ongoing thing. Now there is this, spur one another on toward love and good deeds out of Hebrews. And so we want to allow that spurring to take place and at the same time differentiate that versus the comparison. Because the call that we have is to Christ. So as we're keeping that at the forefront, he's going to allow us to operate in that gifting that he's given us in the particular place that we're at that time. And so if we compare and give into that, inevitably, we're just going to feel the worse, or the opposite. We're going to get way too prideful, which is also going to be unhelpful. So I think that's one, just regularly keeping that in check and seeing how am I doing in this world of comparison? And am I able to fully be thrilled for my brother, my sister, in this particular case, my son, who's getting something, who's experiencing something that maybe is a dream for me, but it's happening for them, and celebrate and be glad that's happening.
I would completely agree with that. Another thing that I think is helpful is, and you alluded to it a little bit, but to have a clear picture of our role versus God's role in this whole work. Because I think if we lean too much into it's up to me, I have to do this, I have to buckle down and make it happen, and we step over the line into what should be God's role in this whole plan of kingdom work, then we are just tiptoeing in and setting ourselves up for all kinds of pride and downfall and burnout and all sorts of things. And even in relationships, because we do often, a good part of our work is helping all of us get along and thinking through what is my role in this relationship. And what do I need to leave up to God's role in this relationship? My role is to forgive and to love one another and to submit to one another, to think of others better than myself, and then leave God's role up to God's role. And evangelism, what is my role versus mm-hmm. God's role? And mm-hmm. to not take on too much, because we weren't meant to take on God's part of it. Mm-hmm. And we can know that logically, but when it comes down to it and playing it out, it's not as easy to tease that out, but our role mm-hmm. versus God's role.
And then make a plan, have some plans. And when I talk about plans, this is plan for rest, a plan for engagement in the work, and all that looks like. A plan for your own spiritual health. And so that's the healthy rhythms of pressing in and then moving back as appropriate. So that's time in prayer and then time in action. And then time away from the work as well. So when you're talking about planning, early on, when we first came out, like in 02, they gave us a book called Nurturing Your Walk. And it had in there kind of set out rhythms. So every day, you know, 15, 30 minutes, an hour, something in the Word. Once a week, take a day. Once a month or once a month, take a half a day, and then
every quarter, take a couple of days to step away and for your spiritual health.
And then every year, make sure that you are taking some significant time away. So weeks of vacation that are a different rhythm, that are something outside of the ordinary, that helps us reset. Making a plan, trying to stick to it, and then evaluating whether or not this is actually a healthy plan. A plan that includes taking in and a plan that involves giving. There's an illustration that our church used a few years ago about being a pipe versus a bowl. And a bowl doesn't take long because there's no exit strategy for the water or anything that's in a bowl. It becomes stagnant, becomes gross, unusable. But a pipe, it's for the purpose of moving something from one place to another. Our lives can be that pipe. We're bringing things into our life from the Word, and we have a particular plan for giving that away. And so that sometimes in the form of newsletters, sometimes it's going out doing evangelism, sometimes it's investing in our kids in a particular way. But there's some pattern with which we're bringing in the health of our Lord and the kindness that He has for us, and then have a plan for making sure that that goes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really good. I just did a month of a Spanish intensive that just took over my life, and I'm really glad I did it. I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I learned a lot. However, I found myself getting discouraged. I think part of my discouragement was I didn't have rhythms for ministry and serving people and engaging in this task that God has given us, and that when we don't, that starts to feel discouraging. So I like that your plan includes more than, well, make sure you have boundaries and Sabbath, but it's a reminder that we actually have to serve God and be obedient to be healthy also. Man, the plan, in some ways, it sounds so simple. I know that exact thing you're talking about, the like time in the Word every day, a Sabbath every week, a couple, maybe a half day a month. And yet I wonder the percentage of people who actually do that. I think it's probably very small. I think we take family vacations, if we have kids at least, because we know we need to do that with our kids. But I know for us, it's easy to get really half-hearted about those things. Like, well, I kind of took a Sabbath. I kind of had extra time with the Lord. So it's a good reminder.
The last one, I think, because you're talking about emotional health and spiritual health and these things, forgiveness, practicing forgiveness, making sure your slate's clean. That's forgiveness of yourself and continue to lay, like, that has been paid for. You do not need to make a bed in your shame. That's that book, the song by
Josh Baldwin.
Josh Baldwin, yes. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way?
At the book? Josh Baldwin?
It's a song.
It's a song.
Okay.
He did say book.
I did say
but
book.
He meant song.
I meant song. My bad.
Oh, well, I like that.
Yeah. And you know, even just a couple of days ago in a men's group, we were talking about this. We have a God who's passionate for us. And Psalm 23 talks about this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I see that as a like intense following. This isn't a meander behind you. Think of when you're not getting along with your spouse, and one of you probably withdraws a little and the other pursues. They follow you. They literally follow you around the house trying to make things right.
Yeah, that's so good. Whoever's doing that, good for them. I'm usually withdrawing, so.
Oh, I'm not saying either one's right or wrong. We just have a habit or a particular bent toward withdrawing or pressing in and trying to figure things out. But I see the Spirit of God like this. It's not a meandering. He hems us in, He chases us down. He follows us. Like, it is a pursuit for us. And it's the pursuit of goodness and mercy that's following us all the ways of our lives. And so we don't have to get bound up by what we've failed at in the past, the sins that we've engaged in, the hurts that we've caused, which we've all done. and own the reality that, no, I'm not right. But God is making me right. He has made me right, and he is making me, sanctifying me. He's moving me to transform so that, in fact, I'm living out the having the mind of Christ practically every day, which includes everything's been paid for, but also making sure that we are giving that same grace to those that are around us that hurt us, mm-hmm. that disappoint us, that continue to cause us hurt emotionally or spiritually sometimes, and knowing that grace has been given for them as well.
I, a few months ago, memorized Romans chapter 8, and we all love to claim, there's no condemnation for me. And then the Lord reminded me, that also means I don't get to condemn anyone else, because he's sticking up for that person, actually. When I'm condemning them in my heart, he's defending them towards me. As we experience and receive God's grace towards us, just like the New Testament teaches, it makes us want to give that to others.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then one more along those, in that category. People often ask us, how do you guys, as caregivers, who takes care of you in a sense, how do you sustain this for so many years? And all of the things that we've mentioned are a part of that. Mm-hmm. Another piece to that is the importance of movement physically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am continually amazed at, and it's our go-to now, if we have a hard situation or we've had a hard day or something's particularly challenging that we don't know what to do with it, we're like, okay, put on your shoes, we're going for a walk. And we just literally walk it out. Or sometimes I'll just mentally think of it as, I need to take a lap. I need to just get out and take a lap around the block or whatever. And the benefit of forward movement, it helps make sense and sort out and just sift away the things that don't need to stick, like a literal sifter when you're sifting flour, or sometimes I sifted cake mix because there were bugs in it. And I did not want to just throw out this expensive cake mix from the export store. So you sift out the things.
And you just don't tell the guests.
You just don't tell. It's usually for a birthday. And the secret's out now. But yes, so this visual of sifting out, I think forward movement helps us with that. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple thing again, but it is helpful for it to be part of our package. And emotional health.
I agree with both. Regular exercise, like workouts, helping a ton with stress management, and then also just taking a walk, which is a more relaxing thing. And I do feel sorry for our coworkers who don't have any pleasant place to walk. Mm-hmm. That is a new thing that I have in my life, that I have a beautiful place to walk, but most of our time on the field, I haven't. So that is an extra challenge for a lot of our coworkers.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Well, those are awesome tips.